Great. Is my microphone turned up enough? I've been fiddling with the sound system this week so we could have our music through these speakers. So hopefully it works well. Okay, let me pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can gather together under it now and listen to you and hear what we need to know about our Lord Jesus Christ that can encourage us to live for him this week. We pray, Lord, that as we meet back in this building now, this passage would be of great encouragement to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are back. How lovely. We are back in the building. I have missed you all terribly. And whilst it may have seemed like I've had lots of fun with the technology, in truth, it's been a means to an end. And I haven't enjoyed it that much. And I much prefer to see you in person. So it's just so lovely to see you all. Now, we're back in the building. And of course, that is very exciting. And as I've said, there are going to be various things that will be different, various changes. And we don't really know yet, of course, what the new normal, people keep talking about this new normal. We don't know what that's going to look like. But today, from our passage, we are going to see two things that will not change as we meet together and continue to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Two things that will not change even when other things around us are going to change. And the first thing is this. The gospel will offend. It's what we see in the first six verses of Matthew's gospel. Did you notice that? Jesus comes to his hometown and it's clear that the stories of what Jesus has been doing has travelled. And in the passage, people are flocking to hear him preach. And it's all very exciting. Jesus is a bit of a celebrity, really. It's always great when famous people return to their hometown. As you might know, I'm from that wonderful, marvellous city of Nottingham. And all good things come from Nottingham. Wendy, one of my church wardens, comes from Nottingham, so obviously all good things come from Nottingham. And who else comes from Nottingham? Oh, you come from... Lucy, do you come from Nottingham? I always knew I liked you, Lucy. Isn't that great? Yes. Torval and Dean come from Nottingham. Did you know that? Famous ice skaters, for those of you who don't know, European, world and Olympic champions. I remember that every now and again, they'd stop off in Nottingham and they'd visit the Nottingham Ice Arena. And boy, was it such a big deal when they returned home. Wow, sellout crowds. Nottingham's own had returned home. And people would see them performing and they'd say, wow, they really are just as good as we've heard. Just as good as their reputation suggested. And I guess we'd be forgiven for thinking that that is how people would treat Jesus when he returned home. His reputation preceded him. Everyone knew who he was. Everyone remembered Jesus from when he was younger. You notice that from the passage, verse 3. Where is it now? I'll put it on the screen. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Aren't his sisters here with us? They remember him. They probably remember him running around as a child with the other children. Imagine that. But, end of verse 3, we see the true reaction from the crowd, from Jesus' own. They took offense at him. Jesus had stood up, he'd preached, following a scripture reading, and the people... they didn't say wow, they took offense. Even though they acknowledged in verse 2 that he's preaching with wisdom. See that? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? So even acknowledging that, they take offense. And the question is why? Why do they take such offense? What could Jesus possibly have said? Well, given that we know an awful lot looking at Jesus' life. We know the promises he made. We know all of those promises were kept. We know Jesus never lies. We can take an educated guess and simply say this. Jesus told the truth. And the truth offended people. Jesus then and now in his gospel reveals truth about you and me. And this truth, it can be deeply exposing and uncomfortable. Jesus' truth exposes our condition. It exposes our heart condition. It exposes how deep sin can go within us, how rebellious we can be towards the God of the universe, how desperately we need a Savior. With this truth, people found Jesus offensive. With gospel proclamation, Jesus, who we proclaim, will be to many, many people offensive. I will pay my own way to heaven. Thank you very much. I heard just a few weeks ago. I don't need a saviour. Thank you very much. I'm good enough. I've heard at our Christianity Explored course. I'm good enough. All that I am is enough to get me into heaven, I've heard. And so on and so forth. They're all things that I hear. The gospel will be offensive because people don't. The natural inclination of our hearts is that we don't want a saviour. We want to be our own saviour. But that doesn't mean we don't proclaim the gospel. Not least because we know as Christians what people are missing out on. Let me read verse 5. There it is on the screen. Speaking of Jesus, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. What did the people miss out on due to rejecting Jesus? Jesus. That's what they missed out on. They missed out on Jesus and the blessing of him in their lives. It wasn't that Jesus was powerless to do any miracles. Rather, he was rejected from sharing his blessings with them, rejected from sharing his grace and favor. So, if you're a Christian here today, expect proclaiming the gospel to be offensive. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we go out of our way to be offensive. We don't use offensive words. We're not trying to get people offended. This is a truth about the word of God penetrating the heart and being found offensive. And yet, remember that if no one had taken the time to share with you the gospel, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't have had a chance to turn to Jesus yourselves. Just because something is painful to hear or painful to say doesn't mean it's not worth saying. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, what might you expect from gospel proclamation? Expect to feel uncomfortable. That you can't save yourself. That you can't buy your way into heaven. That your good works don't sort of stack up on a sort of ladder rung. Hey, you need to let Jesus in and be your Lord and King. But at the same time, of course, remember that this is an invitation. It is an invitation. It's an invitation for Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. It's the most wonderful offer of peace with God. And God himself living in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. It is an offer of joy, of salvation that no one can ever take away. It's an offer of life everlasting that we didn't earn and cannot buy and is freely given by your Lord. That's the first thing that won't change, even as things around us change. The gospel will offend. But here's the second. Sharing the gospel involves going. Let me read from verse 6. So, 6b, the second paragraph. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. Impure spirits, something, of course, unique to the apostles as Jesus fulfills his promise that we saw back in chapter 3. I wonder if you remember that. Back in chapter 3, we read Jesus appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. So there is a prophecy fulfilled there from Jesus about what the apostles would do. It's unique to them. And yet, there is an important model here for you and for me. Notice that Jesus sends them out to share the gospel. In other words, he doesn't tell them to go and find a place that looks kind of churchy and expect people to come. As important as prayer, as vital as prayer is, he doesn't say to them, go and form a prayer group and pray for people to come, as important as that is. That's not the point of what Jesus is doing here. No, Jesus sends them out to take the gospel to people who don't know that they need it. It's the same now. For the gospel to reach people, you and I need to go out and share the gospel with people. It was a real shame that just before lockdown, we'd been working really hard to get into the secondary school and finally got opportunities for the school to both come into church and for me to go into the school with the teenagers and do lots of work there. I'd been trying for months to get into the business park, and I just got permission to do lunchtime talks to the business community at Arlington Business Park. Feels like we're back to square one, really. And we might think, well, should we just give up? But of course, if you want God's church to grow, we need to go out and to keep going out to share the gospel. Do you see that? Do you see why we have to go? You might have heard of Charles Peace. Charles Peace was a gentleman who was condemned to death in the UK. As was a few years ago now, obviously. As was the practice, the clergyman led the condemned man to the gallows before his execution. And as they walked, the prison chaplain read words from Scripture. And he was reading, and he was interrupted. It was Charles Peace who interrupted him. And Charles Peace burst out with these words. Sir, if I believed what you and the Church of God say you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on hand and knees, and think it worthwhile living just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that. What a challenge that is. There's someone who understood what gospel living really looked like, even if it was just before his death. Being prepared to go once someone shared the gospel with us and didn't keep it from us. And we've got to ask the question of ourselves, are we keeping it away from anyone? And how can we change that? Not across broken glass, but to our neighbours and our family and our friends. And invite them to hear the gospel. Lots of opportunities, even in our coronavirus infected world. But now you may be thinking, and this would be absolutely understandable, you may be thinking, how can it be me? How can I do that? I haven't been to theological college. I don't know my Bible as well as some people. How could you legitimately, plausibly say, go out and share the gospel with other people? Well, we mustn't miss something really important about our passage. From here, we've got another two chapters to go before Peter acknowledges that Jesus is Lord. Do you remember that? Jesus says, who do people say I am? And then Peter says, you're the Christ. Now, he hasn't fully got what that means, and we'll get there soon. But from the moment Jesus appointed his disciples to the moment they started to understand who he is, an awful lot happens in between, and they just don't get it. As you read through the Gospels, you notice they just don't fully understand who Jesus is. And yet, it is in the midst of this misunderstanding or not fully grasping, Jesus sends them out. In other words, you don't have to be an expert. We all know, where's he gone? I've got a picture of him. Here we go, Tim Peake. Tim Peake, great British astronaut. To go into space, 3,000 hours of flying before he could even be considered. He had to have a specific degree, A year-long screening process, 14 months basic astronaut training, and then a further 5 years of training before he finally got into space. And that sounds about right. To go into space, you expect to be well trained. And it might be that you're thinking that to go out and to share the gospel, well, it's a little bit like that. I've got to be an expert. And since I haven't gone to theological college, it's not for me. No. To share the gospel, you don't need to be an expert, but you do need to have a heart for the lost. That's important. You need to have a heart for the lost and a trust that God will provide what you need. After all, he has given us, in his word, the words of eternal life. With 12, we're going to come across all sorts of people who didn't want to know. They would meet people who would reject the gospel. And you and I will likewise come across that. We will meet people who just totally reject the gospel. But to share the gospel, that which has saved you, we have to go out and be bold and be trusting that God will give us what we need and the words to say and the heart for the lost. And may I just say that if you're not a Christian here this morning, what should you expect? Well, again, don't be surprised if a Christian comes up to you and tells you something about their Lord. They're simply being obedient to the Lord Jesus, but also the Lord Jesus is their friend, our brother, our saviour. And it's a wonderful thing to share that with other people. So lots of changes around us. Who knows what church will look like next week when we come back? But this remains the same. The gospel will offend, but we have to tell people about the Lord Jesus because he has the words of eternal life, and we have to go out and continue to be prepared to go out with the good news of Jesus. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we admit that we do find it hard to share the gospel, sometimes to pluck up the courage to speak about the Lord, even as he is so precious to us. Father, we admit that we struggle with the fact that we live in a world that can so often be hostile to Christianity, and we fear people more than we fear you. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to have such delight in why the gospel is such good news, that it would stir our hearts to speak boldly of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to be experts. Thank you that we can talk of you in terms of our relationship, which is so precious and everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.